Good morning, everybody. Hey, how's everybody doing? You have a good week? I want to tell you something. Yesterday, I was getting some gas down here at the station, and I pulled up alongside somebody, and I asked him if he knew Jesus, and he told me, man, come here, let me tell you my testimony. He fell out of a two-story window, and he was in the hospital for not a long time, broken this, broken that. But God put him back together and mended him. God's doing good work. And the next guy next to him, he said, thank Jesus too, Lord, you know, because he heard us talking. So God's out there helping people out. Now, if he could help me out pronouncing these names. I had to get, we're going to be in Numbers 13. So I'm going to do my best to say what they are. If I mess up, I mess up. Then from there, because these are really hard. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am given to the Israelites. From each ancestral, send one of the leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out to the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These were the names of the tribes of Reuben, Shema, son of Sakur, from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, son of Horah, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Issachar, Igal, son of Joseph, from the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, son of Nun, from the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, son of Rapal, from the tribe of Zebulun, Gadai, son of Sodi, from the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Joseph, Gadi, son of Susa, from the tribe of Dan, Amiel, son of Galiah, from the tribe of Asher, Shur, son of Michael, from the tribe of Naphtali, Nebon, son of Vasti, from the tribe of Gad, Guruel, son of Micah. So I made it through. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and go into the hill country. See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruits of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up to explore the land of from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards the Libo Hamah. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ashiah, Shema, and Tamar, the descendants of Achan, live. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoar in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Ishkah, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on poles between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Ishkah because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron, and while the Israelites' community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran, there they reported to them and to the whole assembly, showed them the fruits of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruits. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Achan there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land," who had gone up with him, and said, "We can attack these people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there of great size. We saw the Nephilites there, the descendants of Achan, come from Nephilites. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." That night, all the people from the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to another, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land that we passed through," said to the entire Israelite, "the land that we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they." Only two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, brought back a good report of certain victory, while the other 10 spies had a different report of inevitable defeat. The Bible called their report an evil report, a report of unbelief, a report that says, we can't take that land. According to the Bible, when you convince yourself that you can't do something God promised you could do, you are believing an evil report. Joshua and Caleb's report was a report of faith. They said, we could take the land because God is with us. We can do it because God said he would give it to us and fight for us. The 10 spies who gave the evil report convinced the people that they could not overcome the obstacle and take the land. The people believed the evil report and began a 40-year cycle of defeat and misery in the wilderness. So whose report have you believed in your life? Whose report have you listened to concerning your circumstances? Your outcome depends on who you are listening to. The words of faith and hope, or the words of defeat and hopelessness? The words that say we can't, or the words that say we can? The Word of God forecasts a hope, a life of hope, faith, and victory for the life of the believer in Christ Jesus. The good news is that it does not matter where you are in life right now. It's never too late to start listening to a new voice. God's voice says, starting today, you can be free from whatever is holding you back. If your mind has been bombarded with reports of doubt and fear, if your body has been attacked by sickness and disease, or your marriage has been destroyed by infidelity or relentless struggles, what if your finances have been ravaged by the negative report of lack and poverty? Or maybe you are just tired, lonely, depressed, or feeling hopeless. You can have the victory in life with Christ Jesus. Somebody once said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. If you are feeling like you are tired of trying, like you can't go on any further, you need a new fight to rise up inside of you. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come into me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. When you invite Jesus into your life and accept his report of hope and faith, you can defeat the enemy and get the ultimate victory. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he than is in you than he is in the world. To get the victory, you need the power of God to come into your life today. Ask him to come in, and you will not be denied. Jesus, come into my life. I accept your free gift of salvation and spiritual victory. Forgive me for my sins and protect me from the enemy. Give me eternal life and the strength to win in this life. Can you imagine standing before a crowd and loudly voicing an unpopular opinion? Caleb was willing to take the unpopular stand to do as God commanded. To be effective when you go against the crowd, you must have, number one, you must have the facts. Caleb had seen the land. He was there with them. Number two, have the right attitude. Caleb trusted God's promise to give them the land. Number three, state clearly what you believe. Caleb says, we can certainly do it, because God said he was going to be on our side and help us fight. So with God on our side, what could go wrong but to win? Tearing clothes was a customary way of showing deep sorrow, mourning, or despair. Joshua and Caleb were greatly distressed by the people who refused to enter the land. Now in my life, I've had a rough go of it. It hasn't been easy. I had to have a rise up in me to fight harder. Did I go through difficult times? Oh, man, you bet. You bet I did. But that made me stronger. I persevered and I kept going. And I'm here. I haven't stopped yet. I don't know what God has for me yet, what other plans he has. But I'm not going to stop until he tells me to. But my struggles have been pretty rough. For a while there, I had a lot of pain in my body. I don't tell anybody. Just go and do what you have to do. Go and work at the church, glory of God. Go about your business. But to tell you the truth, he has healed me. The trouble that I was having with my leg feels better than ever. There was about 2 months there. I think I went to the dermatologist. Tell him I had to use crutches. My leg was hurting so bad. I thought I'd have to have an operation on my hip. But no, God healed me. Jesus. I mean, in other things that I went through, he's been healing me. And I give him all the glory, praise his name. You guys know the prayer that I like, even though I forgot to pray. But I want to say my prayer. Thanking God for everything that he's done for me. And I say it every night. I'm going to say it again right now. Father God, we just thank you for getting us all up this morning, Lord. Because we know a lot of our friends don't get that opportunity. I thank you for the dying on the cross for our sins, which we never deserved. I thank you for the shedding of your blood, Lord, for forgiveness. I thank you for your grace and mercy that you give us every day. I thank you for the many chances that you've given me. Your patience is unbelievable. I thank you for your unconditional love. I thank you for your protection that you've given me. I thank you for your blessings, Lord. And I thank you for the healing of my body. I thank you for the wisdom, Lord, the fear of the Lord. If you don't have that, I don't know, you're in trouble. But I thank you for your knowledge, and I thank you for your guidance. I give you all the praise and glory, because I could have never did this on my own. You brought me so far, I never thought that I would ever make it this far. And I know you have other things for me. But I give you all the glory. We ask this in your precious name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.